the last moment was twofold. And the first thing that happened was a thought popped into my head. And it's actually based off of military principles, but I mean, anybody can understand this. Do we go to a war zone with one soldier, one Marine, one sailor, whatever, just one person? No, right? We'd be annihilated. We'd be easily overcome. And when that thought came to my head that said, if we wouldn't go to a war zone with just one soldier, then why would you go through a mental war zone with just one soldier by yourself?
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference. 111-110. Maybe for the people that didn't hear the first episode we had you on, you give them a little context, maybe a brief excerpt, a summary of who you are.
Well, yeah, for those who are watching and they don't know a little bit about my backstory, I was in the United States Army as a combat engineer. And what that means ultimately was the fact that I would search for bombs in Afghanistan, clear the routes and make sure those routes were safe so that everybody could go safely and do their missions ultimately. So needless to say, searching for bombs all day, every day, it was going to be a blast for me specifically, but the third blast ended up penetrating my vehicle and taking off both of my legs, which I do have prosthetic legs now, upgraded armor, but ultimately, the loss of both my legs and a lot of other injuries, including the left femur snapping in half, my pelvis snapping in half, my spine dislocated from my pelvis, my right arm snapped in half, my right middle finger was amputated, and like I always say, nobody needs that finger anyways. My four front teeth were knocked out when my face hit the steering wheel, and fast forward, I was in a coma for a month and a half, and during that time, I died twice on the operating table. So needless to say, it has been a crazy journey. Time and time after so many things that I thought would never happen in my life, it has been a blessing to stick around. And even though, yeah, things have not been perfect in my life, I was blown up July 2nd, 2011, been through divorce very shortly after that. And remarried 5.5 going on 6 years ago, and been in now 2 car crashes that put me in the hospital since. It's been a blast.
Jesus Christ, dude, like it's just when you were supposed to be on the podcast like a day after that happened, and Frankie's like, he was in a fucking car crash. And I'm like, what do you mean he was in a car crash?
Yeah.
So he said, no, he's all right. He survived. He's like, just they want to reschedule. And I'm like, oh my God, dude.
It was every day after that car crash. It felt like my pain kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I took painkillers every other day. I didn't want to like go crazy on them. I'm not on any painkillers or medications or anything. As a double amputee, I rely on my faith, my physical fitness, and the way that I eat and take care of myself. So yeah, that was definitely unexpected. But you know what's funny about that accident? My wife and I had been talking about for a week now, like, hey babe, I'm gonna go visit our buddy. When I come back, I need to take the Jeep directly into the dealership or the workshop to get the, you know what a death wobble is for the Jeep Wranglers?
Yes.
So they get worse if you don't take care of it, and it gets to a point where it actually can end up being very, very dangerous. So ours Normally the death wobble starts at like 85 miles an hour. And then if you don't take care of it, it keeps the speed lowers because everything's wearing. And it got to where we were at 55, 60 miles an hour. And it was like crazy. So I knew I had to take it in. Well, I fixed the death wobble. I just didn't take it into the dealership. I got in a car crash and got a new Jeep.
You ever have a normal day, dude? You ever feel a day without pain or discomfort?
Oh, no. I'm always in pain. My prosthetic legs are... People think like, oh, that's awesome. You get to walk again because you're in prosthetics. But I am in pain by the end of every single day. And that's very funny that you ask, because maybe 3 weeks ago or so, I actually did the math and it's been well over 4,100 days since I've been blown up, which means that for 4,100 plus days, I've been in pain.
Are some days better than others?
Yeah. I'm always in pain, but there are days where I'm like, oh my goodness. They're called nubs. People call them nubs, the rest of my limbs. And they're throbbing and like extremely painful. I also have what's called nerve pain from time to time, like where electric shocks shoot down my legs and I don't take any medications to stop it. But if it does keep me up for more than 2 days and I don't get any sleep because of it, that's when it gets so painful that I will typically go into the hospital and they'll give me just a shot that will numb the nerves and reset them. And so that's all I try to take. And then I'll go about my day. But from some of the stuff that I was telling you about my story before, and I told you that my femur had snapped in half, I don't know if we talked about it, but when they first got me into my left prosthetic leg to learn how to walk, my femur that they said was healed from snapping in half during the blast, it wasn't healed. 2 steps later, it snapped in half again inside my prosthetic leg. So this is actually one of my fun show and tell items that I get to show. This is a metal bar that they screwed to my femur during that surgery, putting my femur back together once again. And this is how I got back into my legs and started learning how to walk 2 weeks later.
Nick Lavery was telling us when he was on, you know who Nick is, right?
Yeah.
Am I right when I think he was taking Lyrica, maybe? Lyrica, that makes sense, yeah. for the nerve damage. He's goes to the same thing. He's got the phantom leg. Is that what am I saying that right?
Kind of phantom leg. It's so phantom pain is like where you feel the feet, you feel the what's gone ultimately. That is part of it. I think it's like a twofold type pain. That part of it disappeared for me personally, like a few weeks after I woke up from my coma. So I haven't felt that since. I don't feel like I have my toes or any of that. But yeah, you would take Lyrica or gabapentin, and that's cool. I mean, people do take that. I realized that it was unhealthy for me, so I decided to quit all of my medications cold turkey. And my doctor didn't recommend doing that at all because I was on about 20 medications at the time. And I read the side effects of a lot of them. I'm like, this is, why am I even taking this crap? So relying back into my faith, I was like, all right, I know who the ultimate healer is, so I'm not going to waste my time with all this fake cover-up nonsense. So he told me, okay, fine, go ahead and quit all your pills. I'm not going to argue against your faith. So sure enough, he was fine with that. And I haven't been on anything in 10 years. Well, actually 11 years now.
How about mental injuries? You've seen a change from before, mental clarity. Have you experienced different cognitive issues? You know, you seem like you feel like you're a little less sharp than you once were.
Less sharp is, I guess, in memory wise.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things that I'm not able to memorize like I used to. However, the part of my brain that was impacted, so my On impact, my brain flattened to the size of a pancake and swelled back up, pressing against my skull, causing a traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
And the doctor said I would have brain damage for the rest of my life and have mental issues and all of those things. Well, the side that was affected is short-term memory. So the side that was protected, however, was the artistic side, meaning I can memorize a song before I go to bed.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think there's no coincidence in that, because music is one of my biggest passions and I enjoy singing and performing and doing those things. And if it would have been the other way around, I wouldn't be able to enjoy that talent.
So what has your journey been now? What is JP Lane up to these days?
Still working, traveling, inspiring everyone we possibly can, all over the nation, which is literally one of my favorite things to do. Crystal and I started our nonprofit, so we're about to get that up and running. We got to build our website and do all of those things. So we actually really want to start a marriage retreat / boot camp. So building marriages and restoring marriages, that's very important to us. And just training for the Warrior Games next year. So I'll be on Army's team and I'll be doing 5 events and hopefully kick butt and do a great job for the Army. So
you think you'll ever stop?
Probably the moment I take my last breath.
It's a good time to stop, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's time for vacation at that point.
So how do you survive financially? And you don't got to go into great detail. You can just keep it very surface level.
So right now, my job definitely helps pay our bills. But one of the things we're trying to grow is the speaking engagements. We're trying to increase those so that we would like to. Everybody knows when you get a job, what do you have to do? You have to ask the boss for time off, right? And then you only get so much paid time off during the whole year. Well, we always have people pulling us left and right, which means the past 2.5 years that we've been working our 9-to-5 job, we've used all of our vacation days to go do other work. So if we could transition to Crystal and I leaving that full-time job, even though we will still do what they would like us to do for their people, at the same time, we can turn around and go back to operating on our own time and be able to travel and inspire more people and not have to ask for time off and so on and so forth. That's ultimately where we're going to be operating through. God willing, we'll be able to bring funds into the nonprofit, and Crystal and I would work for our own nonprofit to do the speaking engagements, inspire people, and bring couples into the retreat. And then we can operate on our own time again, which would be very nice.
Did the military supplement enough income for a disability to allow you to at least survive?
Yes. I say that because depending on what it's, I guess it's individualized what your bills end up being, right? So, for example, in 2020, obviously everyone remembers the year of COVID. Hate to bring it up, but the reason I do is because all of my speaking engagements and all of my singing engagements completely gone. So 2020, Crystal and I were literally left with relying on my VA check. Well, right now, our bills are more than our VA check. So we had to rely on hope and prayer. And literally, that's what we did. And not to go all religious, but in my faith, God says to tithe your first 10%. And he said that to me literally in 2020, when now my income had dropped to lower than my bills. So I still tithe my 10% of my VA check. And at the end of 2020, we get a call that triples our income because we still stayed faithful through a time where it didn't even make sense. And we still were able to pay all of our bills through a time where it didn't add up. that I shouldn't have been able to pay my bills. But everything was still provided.
How old are you now?
Just turned 35.
Not to go too personal, but you know, you obviously are married. I know you guys have pets as well, which are probably like your children. Do you anticipate fatherhood? Do you want to have children? And how do you think you'd be as a father?
Well, I'm excited to use my legs as... You better listen to me, little boy. Don't make me take my leg off. But no, I think I've already talked about adoption. And then obviously if we have a kid, the normal way too. We've just been waiting patiently, I guess. But it's been on... The funny thing is before Crystal and I even got married, adoption was already on our hearts because there's so many hurting kids out there that...
I agree.
They could use a good family. And the sad thing is there's so many bad situations that even when people do foster / adopt, the parents aren't... They shouldn't be, is what I'm saying.
I know.
And so knowing that Crystal and I are strong in our faith, we're strong in what we believe, and we want to raise kids the right way and teach them how to overcome obstacles that they may face in this life and be good people while doing it. That's like Crystal and I have actually talked about very soon starting the whole process. So
what are you scared of the most?
I've been taught not to fear anything, and that sounds very like cocky, but it's not cocky when you come at it through the direction that I've been taught. See, the Bible talks about 365 times not to fear. If we do the math and we understand, there's 365 days in a year, which equates to don't fear. But we're human and we have fear that kicks in sometimes. And the ultimate fear I have is why we've been delaying even having kids is because of the world that we live in today is so disturbing and ultimately pretty darn depressing and dangerous. And with everybody teaching the incorrect things to people around the globe, and then I feel like we would be in an uphill battle teaching our kids, hey, we're trying to teach you the right things, and everybody else is going to tell you the wrong thing. So please listen to us. That's going to be an uphill battle, right? Because kids, we're stubborn. We don't like to listen to our parents. What do they know? Our friends are so much smarter than our parents. So that's the reason we've actually kind of delayed having kids and starting the family. But I realized that if we don't try to do well raising the kids that we will have, for example, adopting as well, then someone else is going to do the exact opposite, making this world a worse place instead of a better place.
So there is some fear.
Yeah. I'm not a perfect human being. I'm worried about how our future kids will be raised in the world that we are living in today that is so confused. And they don't know what's going on. And those of us who do are considered crazy lunatics.
Well, I will say this as well. I don't think that the world has ever been a place of 100% beauty. Mm. I'm sure through the history of mankind, there have been horrible things. There's also been very beautiful things. And I think our brains default to the stuff that we're fed via social media, the media especially, and all sorts of other outlets. Or sources, essentially could be just your circle of friends where they're taking their information in from these other channels. But the reality is, for me at least, I have continued to live, at least in my mind, a beautiful existence in the sense that I am able to appreciate how lucky I am to have the family that I have and to have the life that I have. And it's riddled with just challenges and troubles, but I don't let those things kind of affect me too much. And I just see the beauty in my existence and my children's existence as well. And something very wonderful about being in this country and being able to move about freely and have experiences like nobody else. Yeah. I don't mean the sense that I'm driving a Lamborghini and flying private. I'm talking about merely taking my kids to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu yesterday, being in the car with them, laughing the entire time, telling jokes, goofing off, then afterwards going to eat with them, coming home. Then I played video games with them for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so that stuff in a world that is perceived to be so awful, there is a lot of beauty in it. I think a lot of us just get very jaded because of the kind of stuff that we keep continue to bear witness to.
Yep.
It's like these major US cities. If you read articles, and I'm not saying that they don't have their problems. Let's take New York, for example. You can read articles and it makes it seem like New York is essentially the Badlands. It's like Armageddon, post-catastrophic, apocalyptic place. I was there 2 weeks ago. I had to meet somebody at Citi Field, a couple guys, chop it up with them, had a few things to do. That's where the Mets play. I didn't realize, I don't watch baseball. I don't follow it. I enjoy it, that the Mets had traded off their whole team. So I was like, why is nobody here at this game? There's literally nobody here. Bro, there were like entire sections empty. But the reality was, it wasn't post-apocalyptic catastrophic. Yeah, is crime up? Yes. Is liberal politics dictating an increased crime rate? Sure. But, you know, there's 10 million people that live in the city of Manhattan alone. I'm sure that 99% of them really go unaffected every single day in what we're led to believe are the things that we need to be concerned about. And there should be some acknowledgement, but like, it's also not Haiti, where you can't fucking go anywhere without the threat of being kidnapped.
Right.
You know, if you think about that, like, people really live in some real tough environments. Like, dude, when you think about what our lives are like versus what some other people's lives are like, you know, we got it easy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we do. We got it easy.
Yeah.
And people just love to complain. They have nothing to complain about. You know, I just always think about like Ukraine, right? You imagine what it's like living in Ukraine right now. I just saw an article today that like two girls were singing in the street and hours later they were dead. I just saw that just come up in my feed. And that's a reality for those people there. The reality of that, like, they're living in some real threats of real violence. And they it's inescapable for the most part.
Yeah. People always ask, like, what do you think of what happened with the pullout of Afghanistan? And I'm like, look, I'm not in charge of things, so I can't give you my opinion on what happened there. But I will tell you this, while we were there, they got to see what peace looked like and freedom for 2 decades, which means we allowed girls to go to school. And as soon as we left, those same girls that went or tried to go to school and their kids that were growing up trying to go to school are now hiding in caves, fearing for their lives because they're being slaughtered by the Taliban right now as we speak. And that's, people don't understand. I've had many people here in the United States of America tell me, we shouldn't have been over there. We didn't need to be there. Tell that to the girls who got to go to school, please. We are supposed to be the peacekeepers of the world. So when we're not doing that, it's a lot more destruction here on Earth.
People don't realize like what life is like in these other places. It's horrific. Yeah. And they take for granted what we have. And not a lot of people take for granted, but there's a handful. And I think that we often need to be reminded. And I always think about like, why do they shelter and shield citizens of the United States of America from the real catastrophes that are going on in these areas? Like, you never see an article about Ukraine losing the war. It's always there. Ukraine managed to knock down 4 Russian tanks today. Guys, right. I mean, war is really unbelievably insane. And the fact that we're not seeing video from the front line and the human atrocities. And then like, oh, we don't need to be at these places. I'm not sitting here to have a political conversation. The reality is, outside of politics, there are human beings in the middle of this thing. And And I don't know if you can really understand what it must be like to be at your house and have people come in and kill your children in front of you. People don't fucking get that, you know? And and so, again, who are we to be able to change things? I think our job is just give people some clarity and some context of like what the real life is like. I mean, dude, I think that we're very fortunate and very blessed. And I think that people have lost sight of that, which is fine. But I think a lot of people haven't lost sight of that either. And sometimes we do need a reminder of how fortunate we are. And United States is still the best country in the world outside of these insane politics. At least people are well aware of the machine and how it actually works. And they're making it seem like this machine's something new, right? These politics, all this scamming and like, it's nothing new, folks. This has been going on for the test of time. You just didn't see it like you're seeing it now.
Yeah.
This is a politically corrupt country, just like every other country. It's just less politically corrupt than most countries.
Yeah. There's some things that I've found out in the last year I can't even talk about, but it's crazy, the world we live in today. But even still, with all the negative around us and all the crap that is going on, we're still very fortunate to be here in this nation. I mean, I tell people all the time, if I wasn't from the United States of America, I wouldn't be walking right now. Or it'd be a very slim chance that I would be. Because I've been to countries where if you're an amputee, whether you were born that way or you became that way through combat or whatever, there's not the technology that we have here to help put you back on your feet. I don't take for granted my prosthetics because even though, I'm in pain every single day using them, the fact that this technology came about got me out of my wheelchair and allowed me to live life even more than I thought I could ever do. I'm not really sure how long it's been since we last did the last podcast. So I'll show you this picture. I don't know if you've seen it before. Did you see that one?
Wakeboarding or?
Yeah, wakeboarding. The fact that they designed prosthetics to let me wakeboard and snowboard again, like, I'm not going to take that for granted. This country has given us a lot of good things. And I want to be the type of person that remains focused on the good stuff. Yes, I acknowledge and I pay attention to my surroundings and I understand there is negative and bad things happening all the time. But I'm not going to dwell in that because that will just destroy my life. So I like to remain focused on all the positive and do my best to encourage those around me to do the same thing.
What do you say to somebody who's facing adversity right now, where the future may look grim and they have a feeling like all hope is lost? What would you say to that person?
Honestly, I would tell them to not rely on humanity. What do I mean by that? We are imperfect human beings. We fault. We have faults. We mess up. We sometimes are selfish and think about things solely for ourselves and in gain for our own selves. So knowing that this is an imperfect world, how is it that people still have joy and they still have the ability to realize, okay, this might be a bad situation. I might be in a bad situation. For example, when I lost my legs, I was depressed and almost took my life 12 times. But it wasn't until I honestly started relying more back on my faith to give me the strength I didn't have in myself to get me through this situation. I tell people that a lot of people don't know this, but the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason why many people have taken it out of our schools, taken it out of all of our education, have thrown it to the side because they don't want people to have that kind of knowledge and that kind of power. There's a reason for that. When you have that, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, my version of PTSD. Because people say, well, I've been through combat, been to war, lost my best friend, shot by a sniper, I was blown up. The list goes on. yet I have no sign of real PTSD of how the world calls it. My version is post-traumatic successful domination. That's because I'm successfully dominating my trauma, and anyone else can doing the same thing that I'm doing. When if you take someone else in the same exact situation, which while I was in therapy, there were many people in the same exact situation as me, amputations, burns, you name it, we're all pretty much twinsies, and going through therapy, having to figure out life again, our new normal. Well, why were they hating their life, depressed and struggling to get through and giving up on themselves and giving up on using prosthetics and so on, when I was the same situation doing the exact opposite? Well, that's because I was relying on something giving me more strength than relying on my own strength. So I encourage people to do the same thing. Yeah, there's been people, I don't go to church because somebody messed it up. Yeah, you're pointing the finger at another imperfect human being that was in the same crazy building you were in. There's no building or persons inside that building are perfect. But where I got my healing from, where I get my strength from, is a God that's above all of that, which is literally why I'm able to enjoy life with a smile on my face when I should probably be 6 feet under.
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going out every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow.
You ever think about, why you were spared?
All the time. Because I'll be honest, I was a total douche before I lost my legs. I was a jerk. I was very selfish, very, very cocky, and very like, I'm better than all of you. It doesn't matter that I'm 5'6". I will annihilate every single one of you, because I was trained before even going into combat how to fight, how to take someone down, and just make them no longer have breath in 4 seconds. So I had that mindset of nobody here is better than myself. Well, I was humbled very quickly when my legs were taken from me. I died twice on the operating table, and I woke up slower than everybody else, weaker than everybody else, because all of my muscle that I worked hard for was deleted from my body. So yeah, there's multiple times where I wonder, why was I spared? And now I get to tell people that there was a reason God took my feet that I had before, because they were leading me further and further away from him. Then he gave me these prosthetics with new feet to lead me right back where I should have been in the first place and doing what he wanted me to do from the start. And now I have a story to tell people that will hopefully encourage them to do the same thing. And now, realizing how many people have private messages on social media, how many people have contacted us, emailed us saying, you changed my life. It literally blows my mind and almost brings me to tears thinking that the dude before who had legs, he wouldn't have done any of this. He wouldn't have been that person that was inspiring anybody on this planet. And now we've been able to help inspire people and change their lives, stop them from pulling that trigger, and realize there's more to life than they know.
My last one is kind of correlates to the not previous question, but the one before it is somebody's thinking about taking their life. What would you say to them?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. There's so much more involved that you don't even have a clue of what happens when you do that. I have a friend of mine, a dear friend, one of my best friends, who his dad took his life. And every single year that goes by where it's the anniversary of his dad's death, he has a hard time wondering if he's next. It is not something when people say, I'm going to end it and it will get rid of the pain. Wrong. Whether you have kids or not, most people have siblings, most people have parents Most people have friends. Most people who have someone in their circle, and guess what happens? That pain is passed on. It does not get deleted. The only way it gets deleted is by giving it to something bigger and better than and stronger than yourself. That's how it gets deleted. If you take your life, it only gets passed on. So again, it's not worth it. It is worth it to stick around and change your heart, change your mindset, and pass on the knowledge that you have learned to overcome the trials in your life to teach someone else how to do the same thing. We're not supposed to be here on this earth to fight it, the struggles that we're going through by ourselves. Reach out, have someone encourage you through it and get you through it together, and then you can turn around and do the same.
What was going through your mind each time of the 12 times you attempted suicide? How do you feel like you had lost control? What were those moments and what were they like? And how did you come back from it?
I was literally every single time bawling my eyes out, mentally and physically alone, and trying to push myself. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. When in reality, I really wasn't ready for it. I didn't want to do it. It was just the negative thoughts that wouldn't shut up in my head and telling me there was no reason to stick around. There was no reason to be here. I would look in the mirror and see a half a dude. Nobody's going to love me like this. I'm not going to get to enjoy life the way that I used to. Why stick around? Those thoughts were always running through my head, and it was the darkest days of my entire life, to the point where I never even told my dad, my siblings, nobody that I attempted those 12 moments. And I'm very grateful. People will be like, well, how did you get through those 12 moments then? Why didn't you pull the trigger? Why didn't you pour that bottle of pills down your throat? Why didn't you stab that blade through your heart? My faith reminded me I still have a purpose. Don't do it. Every single time.
In private, I've spoken with people who have come to me and expressed that we've helped them through moments like that. And I'm trying to correlate signs and symptoms and trying to understand what people are experiencing at that moment right before the decision's made. And it's very interesting that a lot of people will express the same thing, this uncontrolled hysteria, feeling like blackout, like you've lost control. You almost don't even know what's going on, and then they kind of just snap out of it. Did you have like a snap out of it moment any of those 12 times?
Yep,
what happened right after when you snapped? Yeah. Tell me about what happened when you snapped out of it. What was that? What helped you snap out of it, and then what happened then?
The last moment was twofold. And the first thing that happened was a thought popped into my head, and it's actually based off of military principles, but I mean, anybody can understand this. Do we go to a war zone with one soldier, one Marine, one sailor, whatever, just one person? No, right? We'd be annihilated. We'd be easily overcome. And when that thought came to my head that said, if we wouldn't go to a war zone with just one soldier, then why would you go through a mental war zone with just one soldier by yourself? That opened my eyes to realize I continue to try to do this and hold everything in and deal with it myself. And it just keeps getting darker and the issues keep getting deeper. And when something establishes a deep enough root like a tree, there's no storm in the world that can tear that tree out of the ground. And that can be used for good and for bad. When you keep burying everything and not letting it out, you make those roots stronger and stronger, and that is what you become. When I realized I was trying this all on my own and everything, holding it in and trying to deal with it by myself, and then that thought occurred, I realized that I needed to go tell somebody and open up and humble myself to be like, look, I'm not the strongest person in the world. We're all human beings and we deal with crap that life brings us all the time, but I need to talk about it. And so I started calling my friends and my family and like, hey, I'm having a bad day. This situation sucks. Losing your legs is not exactly the first bucket list thing that people want to do for their life. And the second thing why I said it was twofold is I was like, all right, God, I don't have an idea of what I'm doing here. And I don't even have a purpose. So it's your turn to take over and give me one. And when I did that, then everything started changing. Joy, like real joy, started like bringing me back to life and allow me to get out in public and start doing things that I enjoy. And here we are 11 years later after those moments, 12 years after my blast.
Are there any clues that somebody might display when they're considering taking their own life? Anything that you might have been showing that people weren't picking up on?
Yeah. Selling their house in regards, and I don't say what people are like, everybody sells their house, especially if it's a good market to sell your house. Yeah, I'm going to sell my house next year. But there's multiple things that start lining up. How their attitude is at work. How are they presenting themselves or their life? Is it always down? Are they always quiet or like separate themselves from society and humanity? And then they start doing other things like selling everything they own or selling off their house or all of these things. All of them combined are definite huge indicators that this person doesn't want to live here. And it's, if they're not telling you the reasons why they're doing these things, then that's a big indicator that something is up, especially when they're separating themselves from society. See, for me personally, I am selling a bunch of my stuff because I have goals to pay off debt. I am going to be selling my house next year because we want to start our nonprofit and homestead that nonprofit to raise everything to feed our guests and the married couples that come to our retreat / boot camp. So we're going to live on that ranch and homestead it and take care of it and all that stuff. So there's a purpose behind why I'm doing everything I am doing, but I also don't separate myself from society and I live life with joy. So zero indicators of suicide because I love my life and I'm very grateful and blessed to be here after everything I've been through, including all the car accidents. But when it's the exact opposite of those things, when they're separating themselves, they don't seem happy at work or school or wherever the location is that their normal daily brings them. But then they're also doing those things like selling everything they own or trashing everything they own and selling their house or whatever. Those are things we need to pay attention to. And society has a very great gift of bringing people down and discouraging them from continuing to do things like live. We as decent, good human beings need to continue to remind people they still have purpose here and that every single one of us has gone through something difficult. I tell people your 200-pound IED might not be the same big 200-pound IED that I went through, but to you, it's a 200-pound IED. So their struggle might not seem as big and crazy and difficult as what I went through, but to them, it's that same level. So we need to be encouraging others to get through their 200-pound IED, you know?
I don't know if there's anything better to be said at this podcast. You do a great job every single time, dude.
Thank you. I'm just grateful that you guys brought me back on and, just grateful to, like, honestly, the June 26th when I was in that car accident, I don't think I've ever begged God to keep me here.
Wow. To do our podcast, right?
That's awesome. Yes, definitely is. That is on the list of things I didn't want to miss out on. But I saw the metal bed of that, the back of that truck coming closer and closer. It was like slow motion. And I was like, Lord, please do not take me today. And everything, I was like, I did not feel like I was done yet with my mission here. And so I'm grateful for every opportunity I have.
You're an amazing person, dude. And we're all watching and keep up the great work. And you are an inspiration to many.
Thank you. You know, the last podcast we had, there was a note that I was supposed to show you.
What does it say? Let's see. Justin, can you read this?
Remember my dad in the hospital when I woke up?
Oh, that's right. Yes, dude.
I still have that because the doctor said I would have brain damage and I would have brain, like I would mentally be disabled for the rest of my life. That I would never be able to sing. I would talk funny, all of these things. And my dad wanted to know, was I going to be all right? And
it's awesome. Don't ever lose that, dude.
Nah, yeah. So wow. I'm very grateful. The funny thing is that, and I believe I have this part of my story actually written in my book too, but when I had 2 weeks of vacation to go anywhere in the world while you're deployed in a combat zone, the military will pay for you to go on your 2 week vacation during that. And you get to choose anywhere you want. I went to Acapulco, Mexico, and my dad was so stubborn. He's like, oh, cool. I'll be there the first week with you. I'm like, all right, dad. So he goes and we hang out and I drop him off at the airport. And he had that father gut feeling. He's like, I don't want you to go back. I have a bad feeling. And I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit inside of me talked to my dad that moment, because I would have never said what was about to come out of my mouth in a million years. And what I said was, dad, don't worry. Even if I lose my legs, I will be all right.
Wow.
Who says that?
And then loses their legs.
Exactly. That's why I know for a fact, and I tell people all the time, I'm like, the Holy Spirit was telling my dad, I got him. You don't have to worry. I will take care of him. And here we are, and everything happened just the way it was meant to be. So amazing. To give an idea of how big that blast was, it went straight through my armored truck, an RG-31, and then still had enough power to go through my rifle on the inside next to my, it was right here next to my left leg. So it cut through the armor, cut through my rifle, and cut my legs right off.
Well, I'm thankful you're here because we needed you. The world needed you.
Thank you. I'm speechless and without words that of how I got to this point. And I'll always tell people I'm just very grateful to even be alive and still have a purpose in this life.
Big purpose, bigger than you ever thought it would be.
Bigger than 5'6".
Yeah, no shit. All right, bro. Well, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this with me again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on again. And I hope that everybody's encouraged by your podcast and learn and grow from it. And we definitely still got a link up, FYI.
Bro, as soon as you fucking make it on the East Coast or I come to Texas, I'm going to hit you up. And we have our conference coming up in April in Orlando. You're more than welcome to come. If you're a nonprofit, if you want a booth for free from us in our vendor area. Awesome. Yeah, just it's done. So if you want to do that, fuck with me and I'll get you there.
Yeah, I'll let Crystal know. That'd be awesome. I don't think we have anything on the schedule for April. Next year is already getting really booked up, but I don't remember hearing April yet. So I think that's good. So
I think it'd be a real hit. And I think a lot of people would like to meet you.
That'd be awesome. I would love to meet them.
All right, brother. I appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you. And thank you again. You all take care and y'all have a blessed rest of the week. I think it's Tuesday, right? I don't ever know what day it is.
Me neither. Peace.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at StreetCop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at StreetCop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.